The scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians 4, 6, if you want to turn there in your Bible. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Good morning. It's great to be here on this sunny Sabbath,
isn't it?
Oh, let's just, I know it's just such a good good day. And I know Nick is going to be, and that some of the deacons, I think, are going to be passing out a sheet for the children that want to keep track of words that we have in the sermon today. And also on the back, there's a coloring sheet. So those will be coming to those of you that would like one. And, okay, here they come. Okay. I know when I'm listening to a sermon, I'm a note taker, and I like to help keep track of what's going on. So I just thought that might be a blessing for the children today. I think you're going to have a lot of marks by the word light today. Light is on your list. Okay. Well, I want to talk to you today about the gift of light, physical and spiritual, and the privilege that we have of knowing the light of the world. In Webster's dictionary, there are a lot of definitions for the word light. And what I was happy to see was the very first one said, something that makes vision possible. And then it had, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1:3. We do have the light, the sunlight during the day. We have the moon and the stars at night. God made those for us. And Jesus is the light. Light is also defined as a set of beliefs that represent true Christianity, something that enlightens or informs us. And there's also sources of light that can be used as a signal to help other people. We're going to talk about a few of those today, talk about lighthouses. In the first definition that they brought out in Genesis 1:3, that God spoke light into existence where there had only been darkness, you know, so in the night of spiritual darkness, God's word goes forth and he says, let there be light. And to his people, which is who you are, he says, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He wants his light to shine on us so that we can shine it out to others around us. Before we go on, let's just bow our heads for an added word of prayer. Precious Lord, thank you that we have the word and that we have this beautiful testimony of your life and the light that you give us. And I pray that today we will let it come into our hearts, just like the light is coming in through the windows, that it would come in and help us to understand more clearly what you would have us do as the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, not only did God create natural light, he sent his Son to be the light of the world. In John 8:12, it says, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. When the light of God's word comes in and shines in our hearts, we can see what's on the inside. Much like an X-ray picture takes a picture of what we look like on the inside. I've had a lot of experience with X-rays over the last year and a half, and they want to see what's going on the inside. And, you know, when we read God's word, it helps us see what's going on the inside, doesn't it? It searches our hearts. And that's what God's word does. Physically, the light of the sun is given to us to live happy, healthy lives. With light, we can see our families and our friends. We can work. We can play. We can find things. We can help people, and we can know where we should walk. And physical structures called lighthouses are built to shine light across the water so boats can know where they can safely sail. And spiritually, we need light also. We need spiritual light to live happy, healthful lives, see our friends and family like Jesus does, do our work faithfully, have wholesome play, grow up maturely, find our purpose in working for Jesus, and to know how to walk uprightly. Today we're going to talk about three things: the light of Jesus, him giving his light to us, and being a light in the world. Through the years, I've had the privilege of going with my husband to visit several lighthouses, and we've learned a lot of spiritual lessons along the way. First, I have three pictures of lighthouses we haven't seen. And according to answers.com, there are 14,800 lighthouses in the world. Also, this picture that you see here is the oldest operational lighthouse, and it's called Hercules Lighthouse in La Coruña, Spain. And it's been going since AD 90. I need technical support. I'm doing the down arrow, the right click. No? You know, it's always supposed to be so easy. Sorry. It's just kind of making a little sound. Has it just been on too long? Maybe it's just been on too long. Okay. Yeah, we'll try that. Okay, thank you so much. And I want to thank my husband especially for helping me get ready for today and for helping me today. I need all the technical support I can get. So this picture is a picture of the highest lighthouse in the world. It's in Yokohama, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Japan, and it's 348 feet. And then the most famous lighthouse is in Alexandria, Egypt. Now, we haven't seen any of those. Okay, a few we have seen. The top there is Split Rock in Minnesota. The bottom one is Big Red in Michigan. And this is one of our favorites. This was our first lighthouse we went to in Heseda Head, Oregon. Like people, these lighthouses come in all different sizes. Heseda Head Light is near Florence, Oregon, and it has a 56-foot tower. It was first lit on March 30, 1894. And it's equipped with its original First Order Fresnel lens, which now uses an automated light, and it casts a light visible for 21 miles at sea, and it continues to guide traffic along the Pacific coast. Here's a picture of a little close-up. It's a little dark, but it's what the Fresnel lens looks like. Our visit there was peaceful and illuminating as we stayed in the lightkeeper's room. The light beamed over the rooftop. We were concerned at first that it might come in the room and keep us awake all night, but it didn't. It went over the rooftop, and we could see it, and it had a really comforting effect. And I know it was no doubt a welcome sight to those that were out on the water, as it was light was shining out to give warning and navigation to those out on the water. Well, one night while we were there, everyone that was staying in the inn was invited to go up to the lighthouse and stand around it as we learned about its light radius and its mission to save lives. And it was so interesting to think about how far that light was shining and how people counted on it being there. As long as the ships out on the water paid attention to the light, they would be safe. My thoughts at that point turned to the Bible, where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And I thought about that verse. And in Matthew 5, where he says, "You are the light of the world." I pondered this object lesson before me and thought, you know, I really want to be a lighthouse for Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah 9 and read about the light of the world. Isaiah 9, 2. Isaiah 9, 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." In the Bible commentary, it talks about how Isaiah is bringing out the beautiful prophecy of Jesus, the world's Messiah, coming as the great light, this great light that was to come. These words met their fulfillment at the beginning of Christ's public ministry in Galilee. You can read about that in Matthew 4, 12 to 16. You know, from the time of the captivity of the 10 tribes in 723 to 722, Galilee literally was in darkness, subject to foreign powers and without the ministry of either a priest or a prophet until the coming of Messiah. That light, his light, would dispel the darkness that was in men's souls, and his message would bring life and hope, just as it does to us today. Well, the light of Jesus, let's go to John 1. 1 to 4. John 1, 1 to 4. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then on down to verse 9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Then down in 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then over in, let's go to John 12:46, not too far away. John 12:46. It says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. All right. So his very life was the light of men. His very life is our light as well. And if we believe in him, we won't abide in darkness. Isn't that beautiful? In a devotional called Lift Him Up, page 221, it says, Christ could not help being bright and shining. His very work was to shine. He said, I come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. In me is no darkness at all. Christ is everything to those who receive him. There is a part for us to play. We need to receive that light. He is their comforter, their safety, and their healthfulness. Apart from Christ, there is no light at all. There need not be a cloud between the soul and Jesus. His great heart of love is longing to flood the soul with the bright beams of his righteousness. And when I read that, I immediately thought of the lighthouses and how their lights beam out across the water. And they beam out that flood of light to save people. His great heart of love for us is seen at the cross. In the Ellen White notes from our lesson that we had on Jeremiah, remember when we studied about Jeremiah? It says, from the cross, shines the light of the Savior's love. And when at the foot of the cross, the sinner looks up to the one who died to save him, he may rejoice with fullness of joy, for his sins are pardoned. Kneeling in faith at the cross, he's reached the highest place to which man can attain. And through the cross, we learn that the Heavenly Father loves us with a love that is infinite. Let us educate our souls to be hopeful and to abide in the light shining from the cross. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus, as our song we sang this morning, and look full, full in his wonderful face. Really look at him. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. A question we might ask ourselves, that I asked myself, are the things of earth growing strangely dim for us? Or are the things of God growing dim? Satan desires to blind our eyes to the light of God's love and his character, but we need to keep looking to Jesus and drawing near to him. You know, temptations will come. They come all the time. And it says in God's Amazing Grace, page 258, when temptations assail you, as they surely will, when care and perplexity surround you, when distressed and discouraged, you are almost ready to yield to despair, look, oh look, to where with the eye of faith you last saw the light. And the darkness that encompasses you will be dispelled by the bright shining of his glory. When sin struggles for the mastery in your soul and burdens the conscience, when unbelief clouds the mind, go to the Savior. His grace is sufficient to subdue sin. He will pardon us, making us joyful in God. You know, Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Eight and nine. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In the margin of my Bible, for Spirit, it has the word light. For the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. When that light is in our lives, that will be the fruit. Just as light is essential for things to grow in the garden, darkness can be destructive. If there's not enough sunshine, things won't grow well. What difference can the light of Jesus make in your life? While my husband was in medical school at Loma Linda, I had the opportunity to take an oil painting class with a friend I worked with. And one of the paintings I did was of Portland Head Lighthouse, which this is a picture of, in Portland, Maine. It was a difficult one to paint, but it was rewarding, as at last it was complete. I was glad. And through the years, my husband and I have become more and more interested in lighthouses. And when we planned a trip back east several years ago, we made plans to see Portland Head. Driving on the road with water on one side and trees on the other, we couldn't see the lighthouse until we made that final turn and we topped a little hill. And there it was. It was even more beautiful than any picture I could have ever seen. It was so striking, the bright white beacon that had before only been a picture to me. It was a special experience. I remember having a few tears in my eyes, and I thought, I had no idea I would respond that way. But as I saw this beautiful light, I realized how many lives it had saved. It was beautiful to see. You know, lighthouses give light as warning and as navigation. There's a book I'm reading. I haven't finished it yet, just begun, maybe a third of the way through. It's called Lighthouse Families. It's by Cheryl Shelton Roberts and Bruce Roberts, and they've brought together stories about families who have called lighthouses their home. In the book, it says, lighthouses were built for one purpose only, to save lives. The beams of light from these noble beacons have saved countless lives, ships, and cargo. Modern technology has put many of them out of business. Thanks to a lot of people, many of these landmarks are being restored. And they talked to various family members that used to live in the lighthouses. And they gave accounts of what it was like growing up in a lighthouse. Very interesting. Some crazy times, some fun times, some harrowing times. I'll go to this picture and then we'll come back there. This particular story was about a boy named Rainey who lived with his family at Cape Hatteras. This is a picture of Cape Hatteras Light Station. And he lived there before there was electricity and indoor plumbing. And he said, you know, frankly, we didn't miss electricity or plumbing. As long as the Hatteras light worked, that's what mattered. The children mentioned in the book watched and helped their parents run personal marathons to keep the lights burning night after night under sometimes unbelievably difficult circumstances. For these children, isolation was a given. Injury and death was a daily threat. Distance from medical help was part of life. Self-sufficiency within the family unit was mandatory. And fulfillment was a well-lit, carefully tended beacon that pierced the fog and darkness and helped mariners find safe passage along America's shores. The light keepers kept giving so the light would be there. Jesus keeps giving us his light too, and he wants the light in our hearts. Let's go to John 1:9 again. The true light, that was the true light which gives light to every man or mankind coming into the world. In the Bible commentary, there was a sentence here that was very nice. It says, as the first act of creation, God flooded the world with light. So when God sets about the work of recreating his image in the souls of men, he first illumines their hearts and minds with the light of divine love. Just think about it. Jesus came to the world as its light. And he was to represent God to men, God the Father. And he didn't come here as the light of the world to keep the light to himself. We shouldn't either. He came to give his light to mankind and to save lives. We see in Luke 4:18-19. Let's go there. Luke 4:18-19. When he stood up to read, these were some of the things he talked about that this prophecy was fulfilled in his own life. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to claim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that was his work, and he commissioned his disciples to do that work as well. And as his disciples, we are also commissioned to do that work. You know, there's a beautiful Prophets and Kings, there's a beautiful chapter on called the House of Israel that you might want to look at later today. Just read the whole chapter. But it talks about how we can be like Jesus and what we can do to help others, because all around us there's so much sorrow. There are so many things, so many people that are in distress. And it talks about how the wants of the soul, only the love of Christ can satisfy. And that is so true. And if Christ is abiding in us, our hearts will be full of divine sympathy. There's one little part here that says, there are many from whom hope has departed. Bring back the sunshine to them. Many have lost their courage. Speak to them words of cheer. Pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the word of God. Upon many is a soul sickness which no earthly balm can reach, nor physician heal. Pray for these souls. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them there's a balm in Gilead and a physician there. Light is a blessing. The light outside and the light from God's word. And The light of the knowledge of God's love is to shine out for those around, and I pray that each of us can be part of that. Well, as a child, sometimes I would find myself reading in a place where maybe I didn't have sufficient light. And I still remember Mom or Dad coming and saying, "How about a little light on the subject?" Anybody? Maybe some of you heard that too. And so I thought, you know, even though I didn't always want to admit it, the light made a big difference. You know, I thought, oh, I can read. I can read here. Well, the Bible is filled with light. And I found a quote that has just really, I have it on my desk and I look at it every morning. And I just want to pray this every morning. It says, this is from Testimonies, Volume 5, 266. "Every day you should learn something new from the scriptures. Search them as for hid treasures, for they contain the words of eternal life. Pray for wisdom and understanding to comprehend these holy writings. If you would do this, you would find new glories in the Word of God. You would feel that you had received new and precious light on subjects connected with the truth, and the Scriptures would be constantly receiving a new value in your estimation." I know, I'm sure, you probably all have had those times when you know God is speaking to your heart. As you're reading the word, as you're praying, it can just be all throughout the day, as you're walking around, all of a sudden this flash of light comes and you think, oh. And it's time to get on your knees. Well, there's been a lot of those. One of the more recent ones was in a Sabbath school lesson that we had, talking about from Matthew 5, 43 to 48. Let's go there. Matthew 5. This section is talking about how Jesus said, "You've heard it say you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." And he goes on to say how we need to love our enemies as well. And then that last verse, 48, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Somehow I had, that was detached in my mind. And I saw that in its context more clearly as we studied that lesson in our Sabbath school lesson. And it was so beautiful to me to think, you know, what is our Father really like? He has love for everyone. On the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In other words, our attitudes and our motives toward others will resemble our Father's character. Then we will be like Jesus. There's so much light in the Bible. There's just so much we could talk about, but there's not time to talk about it all today. But where we came from, our purpose in life, God's remedy for sin, our purpose for living, the true character of God, his promises, and how precious they are, the work of the Holy Spirit, maybe especially what God is really like, and the hope of living with the light of the world. In heaven, he will be the light. We won't need any other light. He'll be our light there in heaven. You know, I'm really grateful for the light I saw in my parents, my grandparents, as I was growing up. Seeing them read the Bible, study, pray over the Bible, it was comforting to me as a child growing up. And the light of the truth in God's word tells me that my loved ones who are no longer with me, my parents or any of my grandparents, tells me, you know, they're resting now. And I appreciate that light in the truth of the word of the Bible. Because, and then I know I look forward to the day when I can see them again. And I really want to thank them for the light they shared with me. You know, maybe there's somebody in your life today that you need to thank for the light that they've given you. Tell them while you can. Well, we need God's light. We are given his light through the word. He is the light. We are given the light. And he wants us to be a light. Let's go to Psalm 36, 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Only in his light can we have any light. Apart from God, our understanding is only darkness. In the Bible commentary, it said, there was a quote from Milton, the poet. It said, our prayer should be, what in me is dark, illumine. What in me is dark, illumine. Search me, O God. Like it says in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me. Well, we have a lot of lights in this room. We have a lot of lights in the Bible. And young people, I have a question for you. Who was a young person in the Old Testament that was filled with light? Who was a young person in the Old Testament that was filled with light? We study about him a lot. I know you know it. Starts with a D. Am I hearing it? David? Well, it's not the one I'm looking for. Daniel. Okay, great. Who said that? All right. Thank you. It's Cliff, right? All right, Cliff. Okay, very good. Well, in the book of Daniel, we see a wonderful example of being a light. Let's go to Daniel 2:22. He was a light, but he was giving honor to the true light here in Daniel 2:22. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Who is the him? God. Okay, now let's go on to Daniel 5:11. Daniel knew where the true light comes from. He was a man that walked and talked with God every day, many times a day, probably all day. And he trusted God. And what happened? God gave his light to Daniel. And Daniel 5:11 says, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. And then over in same chapter, verse 14, I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Daniel was a man filled with light, the light from God. In Ministry of Healing, page 332, it says, "Stand like Daniel, that faithful statesman, a man whom no temptation could corrupt. Do not disappoint him, God, who loved you, that he gave his own life to cancel your sins. He says, 'Without me, ye can do nothing.' Remember this. If you've made mistakes, you certainly gain a victory if you see these mistakes and regard them as beacons of warning. Thus you turn defeat into victory, disappointing the enemy and honoring your Redeemer." Do you trust God like Daniel did? What do you think God will do for you when you start trusting God like Daniel did? Another question, young people. Who was a burning and shining lamp in the New Testament? Who was a burning and shining lamp in the New Testament? Jesus was. Who was the forerunner of Jesus? John the Baptist. All right. That's a good verse to look up later. John 5:35. He was sent to bear witness to the true light of the world. Let's go to Luke 11:36. We're almost finished. Luke 11:36. "If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." It is God's purpose for us to be filled with light. Having no part dark, no place in our heart that's dark. He wants us to be sanctified, purified people, and communicating his light to those around us. You know, just last week, we heard about three students that will be starting Weimar College. They came to the campus initially as agnostics, suicidal, and saw no reason to be alive. They attended a depression recovery program with Dr. Nedley. And you know what? They learned about the light of the world there and how valuable they are to God. They learned to trust God. And they finished the program and were transformed by the light of God's love. And they're going to be baptized soon and attending Weimar College. And they are eager to share the light that they've received. What about us? Are we living up to the light we have? That we've received as a child, maybe as a young person, maybe as an adult. Did you grow up in a lighthouse family where the light has been carefully tended and the most important thing in your life is to keep the light bright and strong? Or has the light dimmed over the years? But now you want to resume to be a light keeper. Go to where you last saw the light. If things look dark and you don't know where to go, you don't know how to start, you don't know how to come back, just go to where you last saw the light. Jesus is there. Or maybe now you're just discovering the light of life and you desire to walk in that light with all your heart, God wants us all to come to the light of His great love and be a light of the world. I love this little line in Ministry of Healing. A lamp, however small, if kept steadily burning, may be the means of lighting many other lamps. That's page 354, 355 of Ministry of Healing. Is Jesus the light of your life today? If the light of God is in us, it will shine out. Christ has made every provision for His church to be a transformed body, illumined with the light of the world, possessing the glory of Emmanuel. And it is His purpose that every Christian shall be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. He desires that we shall reveal His own joy in our lives. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know, after I saw this beautiful light at Portland Head in person, I thought of the day when I would see the light of the world in all His brightness and glory. And my prayer was to see that true light that lighteth every man in peace. Jesus is the light of the world. Is it your desire this morning to meet the Lord, the light of the world, in peace? Would you with me like to make a commitment today to keep receiving the light from God's word, trusting Him moment by moment, and be a lighthouse for Him? A light that sends out beams of saving light? If there's anyone here that wants to know more about the light in God's word, or if you desire to recommit your lives today in a special way to the light of the world, come forward during the last two verses of our closing hymn today. And we'll turn now to our closing hymn, hymn 272.